you today for the time, this time in the Word. We ask your blessing upon our discussion. We pray that what we talk about brings life, health, and strength. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And everyone say amen. Let's get to it. New series this month, and we're in one big study for the year. And the question I answer this year, because every year I try to answer one question, is how in the world do you protect your future? What can you do to protect your future? Because this is your future. I'm telling you, boy, I'm noticing people right now. I'm thinking, ooh, wow, what a future. Look at what they've created. Look where they are. I don't want to be in some places I see other people land. And I'm really serious about that. I'm trying all I can, using all my weapons, all my tools, to try to have a different outcome. And I found that the best way to protect your future is to improve your thinking. So everybody repeat with me, please say, improving your thinking, protects your future. So the question is, how do you do that? What do you do that would protect your future? So each month I've been working through this conversation. And it's been a pretty fascinating conversation because each month I've tried to talk about thinking. So in January, we talked about thinking about thinking for the whole month. I went through this whole conversation about how you think and how does our brain work and what does the Bible say about that? Then in next month, we talked about stagnant thinking. Can you say stagnant thinking? I talked about how you can get stuck. I'm going to pick up on that theme a little bit more later on in the year as well, again, because I have some more things I want to say about it. But you can get stagnant. And you can't think beyond a certain place. Thirdly, we talked about something that's really interesting. We talked about believing. If you're going to advance in life, you have to learn how to believe. So we spent a couple of months talking about stagnant thinking. Then we went to believing thinking, where you become an advocate for yourself. You believe you can. Try that. Say, I can. There's something about saying that. Now, other people can say things to you. I believe in people encouraging me, but I don't think they have the time to encourage me as much as I need it. I need it in the nighttime, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. I need it all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen, right? I mean, it comes on me in waves. Bam, hit me upside my head, and I'm sitting there trying to hold on to my senses. Now, this study this month is a little bit different because I'm taking a turn. And I'm talking about big thoughts and how those big thoughts can lead to big results. So I want to elevate your thinking. That's the goal of this study this month. You may have been thinking at this level. I want to take you up a little bit. So repeat the topic with me, please. Say big thinking,
big thinking.
For big results. If you want to have bigger results, key term, bigger results, you got results, but you want a bigger result. You want something better in your life than you have. You're okay. I mean, you may, but you just, you see somebody, I don't know if you're like that. I used to see people, and I said, I want to be neat. I want to be neat. I want a neat haircut. I want to be neat. I want my car clean. That's me. When I see a guy in a clean car, I go, yeah, there you go. That's just me. If I see it in a dirty car, I don't say anything. I'm being honest. Somebody said, well, don't come to the parking lot today, Pastor. Oh, I've seen him say, don't come over here. Don't come over here. Just stay over there. Don't even walk past my car. Some of you have done me that way before. I said, what? I'm going to fry some French fries. What's that? What's back there? I'm about a house too. I am. You know, I am. I was up this morning folding clothes, washing clothes. That's me. I'm sorry. Pray for me. I admire certain things. I don't know what you admire, but I admire certain things. And I got this vision in my mind. And matter of fact, let me tell you, I'm working on calming down a little bit. I was getting a little bit extreme. You know, temple is not going to come in one day. Okay? The body you want, you must work at slowly and consistently. Okay? Let's not have two breakfasts, just one. I'll do two, man. I'm a breakfast guy, I'll tell you. And so there are moments when I'm starting to, okay, just be the farmer. Plant. Don't go check the ground every day. It's not growing in one day. But I like the dream that I have in my head. Man, I'm really excited. Somebody asked me, they said, are you excited about graduation? You know, your degree, new degree, are you excited? And I want to say, sadly, no, not really. Is that bad? I'm really excited about my life more than just an event. Because I've had degrees before. You walk across the stage, they say your name. And, you know, when you worked hard as I've worked hard, you know, 3 years of coursework, a year of waiting before they give me responses to my paper. You know about that if you've been through this process. And a year, you know, of writing. And so when they say my name, I want them to say it slow. Spell it, R-I-C, wait, K-Y, what I want. But they're going to say it fast, Rick Temple. Then it's over. Take a couple of pictures, bam, it's over. That's the moment. I want a life. I want to be excited about my life. I am happy. You know, it's a big deal. I understand. You know, you feel good. And then when you get to a doctoral level, they don't even say much about the 4.0. Say something about that. You get the cum laudes and everything else below that, but you don't get anything. Lord have mercy, Jesus. That's just my complaint. Anyway, but at the end of the day, it's all about being excited about life and having a vision to elevate your life and elevate where you are. And that's what I want. I want my life to be better. So in order to get there, my thinking, theme of the year, right, has to change. I love this quote. As long as you ignore what's going on in your thought life, then your unhealthy thoughts will continue to erode your quality of life, your relationships, and your faith. That's from my book that we read, if you remember the book. I love that you guys are on top of it back there, Winning the War in Your Mind. Get the book if you haven't. That's our last book we read. We're on a new book now, but that's the last book we read in our books and brunch. I just think it's a fantastic thing. It's a fantastic thing. And Books and Brunch is going to be June 8th. That's what so our next book is called, I love it. The next book is called Accidental Pharisee. You didn't mean to be one. You just happened to be one. But don't get me started. So anyway, the point of the comment here is that your thoughts affect everything. So as long as you ignore what's going on in your thought life, then your unhealthy thoughts will continue to erode your quality of life, your relationships, and your faith. You cannot have the results you want if you can't think beyond where you are. Say that with me, please. Come on. You cannot have the results you want if you can't think beyond where you are. You're more stuck than you know. Somebody asked me to do something. I said no to it first, and I've changed my mind. I'm going to say yes. Somebody asked me, would I come and talk about politics in a big Christian event, and would I give my honest opinion about what I think about the politics? And my first answer was, absolutely not, no, not me, got things to do, don't need to be in that session. Then I went to sleep and woke up and the Holy Spirit touched me and said, okay, some elders in your life, some people really like you and respect you, ask you to come participate. And you said, no, why don't you try and say yes? I thought, oh, Jesus, why do you bother me? I don't want to go do this. I want to be a part of this conversation. So I called the person back. I said, okay, Spirit of God convicted me last night. When is it? And they told me when it was. And I said, okay, I'll change my flights. I'll be there, and I'll stay, and I'll do this. And then it's not one session. It's two. That's what I said, two. Two. Okay. So then I asked myself this question. Okay, so it's about the thinking part of this. So, Ricky Temple, so what is it you think is a problem? If you were to summarize it in a simple way, here's what I would say. You ready? Some of you are waiting for this answer, aren't you? Mm-hmm. It's coming. We're not used to, as Christians, we're not used to disagreements. We don't do well with no. We don't know how to respond to people, and I'm off script a little bit, but hang with me. We don't do well with people who don't agree with our politics. We have a save or unsave philosophy, right or wrong, holy, unholy, up, down, It's pretty simple. Republican, Democrat, got to be one or the other. Jesus would not dare be a fill in the blank, whatever you think, right? And surely God agrees with you. Surely your political perspective is the one. And here's what I believe about Christians. We've lost the ability to disagree. As a matter of fact, I put a whole series together that's coming up in sometime August, September, on disagreements. And I decided I want to talk about how people struggle with disagreements. Let me tell you something. God is not like you. I am sorry. You're not his twin. You're not as holy, as godly, as gracious, as merciful as he is. You are not always right. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what anybody tells you. Your view of the world is not the only view of the world. And I believe that sometimes we struggle when it's time for us to think outside of our comfort zone. And there's more I'm going to say, but that's down the road. I'm not talking about that today. But my point is, I don't think we do well with that. And I think we miss a lot of great moments because we cannot think beyond a certain level. There's something about that. There's something about elevating your vision. Elevating your vision. And I'm not going to preach that whole thing. I'll do that another time. But here's what I want to do today. In this series, there are four things I want to say today. Four things that I think will help us think better and have better results. One is we have to have a plan. In order to think better, you have to have a plan. Secondly, you have to have a team. Thirdly, you have to have self-confidence. And thirdly, you have to have a deadline. So say that with me, please. Someone say a plan. A team. Self-confidence, and deadline. PTSD, the good kind. I struggled using this acronym, but it just kind of fit, so work with me. Here's the first question. What is your plan? If I really want to know where your life is going, if I really want to know what I need to understand your plan. Are you living out of a plan, or are you just existing every day? Most of us exist every day. Get up, just kind of go to work, do what we do, and there's no plan. There's nothing tied to anything. Secondly, who's your team? Who's on your team? Thirdly, you're going to love that one. That is such a, we'll talk about that next week. Who's on your team? Thirdly, what do you believe is possible for your team? What do you believe is possible? Are you confident? I mean, it's one thing to have confidence in me, your pastor, but what about confidence in yourself? You need to understand, this is about you being a believer in you. I fight it myself. I fight insecurity all the time. It's one of the issues of this job. It's always in front of people. And then, when is your deadline? When are you going to finish? When are you going to finish? You said what? You're going to do what? When? What's the date? You start when? When do you end? Or is it just a conversation? You're going to get counseling when? When are you going to call and make the appointment? You need to go to the doctor when? When are you going to do what you said you're going to do? The book of Proverbs gives us some advice. I'm going to give you a couple of verses to think about. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this. First of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If you're going to come up with a plan, which is what we're going to talk about today, that's our first conversation, I want you to think about who you're going to involve in this conversation, in this planning process. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding when you plan. Submit to him. He'll make your path straight. Acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Is God involved in the planning process? Or are your best friends? Who's involved in it? Secondly, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 says this, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. That's about somebody disagreeing with you, right? Right? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. I find it fascinating that he uses a word we don't like, rebuke. Who do you allow to rebuke you, discipline you? I'm grown. Nobody disciplining me. Okay. Is your plan limited? Here's a question. You ready? Here's a question. Is your plan limited to your understanding? Acknowledge him in all your ways. Lean not to your own understanding. Are you the smartest voice in your life? Are you the smartest person in the room when you're present? Does your plan acknowledge God? Remember, acknowledge him in all your ways. Do you only offer verbal respect to God, but you don't submit to him? Certain things you do say, I'm not submitting to you, God, in my sex life. Forget that, Jesus. I'm going to drink when I want to drink. I don't want to drink. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to be dishonest. I'm going to lie. I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. I like you. I don't mind coming to church as long as you don't step on my toes too much. But as far as submitting to you, and I think that's an honest answer. No, I'm not doing what you said, God, period. Because that's what your life says. Your habits, your rituals, your routines. Does your plan acknowledge God in your resources? You want God to give you money, but is God a part of your financial strategy? And you get a little bit upset when people mention it. Because it's your money. I understand. Until you don't have any. Then you pray. Do you know people like that in your life? Do you know people like that? They are not talking to you until they're broke. Don't call you. Okay, how do you feel about those people? Think about it. Okay. Does your plan allow for chastisement? The plan that you have for your life. Remember, in order to think bigger thoughts, you got to have a plan. That's this week's conversation. You got to have a team. That's next week. Third week, you got to have self-confidence. Fourth week, you've got to have a what? Deadline. Today, we talk about a plan. So, does your plan allow chastisement? Is God or anyone allowed to stop you? Is there anybody in the world that can say, don't do that, and you won't do it? Who is your stopper? Nobody, because you're grown. I got it. I feel you. You're there. You've arrived at the place of power, and so there is no stopper in your life. I've seen more pastors be destroyed because no one can stop them. And I've seen churches be destroyed because the deacons, all they do is stop you. I want to be a deacon so I can have a voice in the church. You just want to stop everybody. Stop, 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 stop. I think there's a balance in this. I love Jesus' model. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. I willfully allow input. Who are your stoppers? Six things to keep in mind when you plan. Luke chapter 14 tells us six principles, and I'm done for the day. First of all, plan to establish strong priorities. If you want to really do well in life, you got to plan to establish strong priorities. This goes first, this goes second, this goes third. Now, I want you to listen to this, and there's going to be a little bit of what they call hyperbole. Say that big word, please, come on. That means to exaggerate. Like, I feel like I'm going to die. That's hyperbole. Jesus is going to use some hyperbole to make a point in Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said these words. Here's hyperbole. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. That sounds extreme. But it's an exaggeration to make a point. I need to be first. And you know our temptation is to make family and friends and business and all these other things first. And he says, no, I want to be first. In the Ten Commandments, the first thing on the Ten Commandments, he says, listen, don't put any other God before me. I mean, he said it over and over again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. First commandment. With promise. Love God first. And he says, I want you guys to be clear about it. If I'm not first, the deal's off. Secondly, he says this, plan to engage in painful pursuits that have risk. Verse 27 of Luke 14, he says this in verse 27, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you're going to follow me, you got to engage in risky, difficult, cross-feeling like pain. There's a cross involved in being in my job. There's a cross being a father. There's a cross being a mom. I'm serious. There's a cross. Mommy, mommy, mommy. That's it right there. That's the cross. Mommy, mommy, mommy. Grandmama, mommy, 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 mommy. What? Do you want? cute little person. What do you want? It's the cross. Raising adult children or dealing with adult children. It's the cross. Oh, God, what are you going to do? That's a dumb plan. But I have no vote in this, so go for it. I'll watch you crash and hopefully not burn up. There's going to be some fire in this plan. I see it coming. Help me, God. You did what? Now you need what? Oh, you want to come live here in my peaceful place with your chaos? Then you don't want to do anything. Don't want to give anything. You plan to stay forever. So far, I haven't heard a deadline, so I guess it's forever. You want to have a party at whose house? My house? What risk are you taking? I'm taking one right now, following Christ. I say this because it gives me peace to say it. Changing the service schedules was one of the hardest things I ever did in this job. God knows, honest to God, I'm telling you right now. Tears came out of my eyes the first Sunday we didn't meet, and I was at home watching y'all online. Temple, you are losing your mind. But I feel good. I be rested, I tell you that. What? Somebody asked me, what you do on fourth Sunday? I said, I look left, and then I look right. Then I look left again. Thank you, Jesus. What? I'm putting to get, look, I'm out here in 6 minutes. I'm going to end this. I'm not going to be all day. I want to last. Can I get an amen? Come on, can I get an amen? We were doing 28 services a month. 28. Saturday today. I'm sorry, Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday in Rankin, Saturday, and three on Sunday. Add, do the math. At some point, not including other stuff I was doing, traveling, all this kind of stuff, at some point you got to pause and look at your life and say, what am I doing to myself for Jesus? Devil knows that a lot of you are going to run out of gas. He ain't got to worry about you. He just got to watch you burn. You're going to kill yourself. He could take a vacation. You're doing a good job all by yourself. Can I get an amen, somebody? Here's what I said. Plan to establish strong priorities. Number two, plan to engage in painful pursuits that have risk. Thirdly, he says, plan with the cost in mind before you start. Suppose, verse 28 says, you want to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough? Estimate, weigh out the cost. Number four, plan with respect for failure. I love this. Plan with respect for failure. Verse 29, for if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish, everyone will see it, will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. You need to realize you can fail. You can fail. You're not going to necessarily succeed because you want to. If we want to succeed and go further, we have to think bigger thoughts, think different thoughts, do it a different way. This isn't working. We're fighting. We're in tension. Why? The way we're managing our money, whether we're living our life. Plan while sitting down in advance before you start. Verse 31, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down, consider whether he's able to with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Maybe this is too big of a task. I need to look at it again. If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off. Can you say that with me? Come on. A long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. Do you know what I see a long way off from me? Broke up. Immobility. Pressure. Financial pressure. I mean, I can see it. I see it in people. It may be a long way off, but it be coming. I have a series. I'm so excited about it. These things come to me, I'm telling you. Answer this question. You ready? Say, am I going fast enough to head off what's coming? It's not today's sermon. It's coming. I think that's in July. We'll see. I got to make sure that if I want to protect my future, I've got to run fast enough to head off what's coming. Diabetes. High blood pressure. Stroke. You don't see it coming. Listen, I'm telling you, if you pay attention, I got to get in. Your body start sending signals. You ever have your foot cramp? Anybody have foot cramp? They talk, hey. You got to stretch. Be in the bed, got to jump up. You be dancing in the spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Young people keep on living. You're going to see what I'm saying. You get them in the hip, in the butt, everywhere. You be tightening up. You be going to tighten up on you. And you be just so embarrassed. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I ain't had that one. That's a bad one. 66, them things start coming, girl, left and right, hands hurting, everything. Your neck can't turn. You can't turn your whole body. You better do something. He's coming to you. Woo. I got to end. I told y'all that. I got to end. Last one, you ready? Right? Well, say well in advance. Come on. It's coming. You see it's coming. And if you're not running faster, it's going to catch you. You see people in your house, right there in the hospital. Hospital full of people. They ran too slow. Not all of them, I'm just saying. But some of them, you know, they're running real slow. You better speed up. All right, last one. Plan with an all-in attitude. That's the last one of faith. Come on. Plan with an all-in attitude. Verse 33 of Luke 14. He says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you have cannot be my disciple. If you've not given up everything, see, you're holding back. One of the great lessons in the book of Joshua and Judges is God sent them to conquer the land. But in the first two chapters, read it, of Judges, it says, but they didn't do this. They half conquered this one. They let these people stay. They partnered with their enemies. You're not all in. That's why you don't have all God wants for you. You're not all in yet. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, Jesus. Grab your communion. It's time to get all in. I got to go, man. Wow. All in. That's what this says, Jesus. I'm all in. You gave your life for me. You died on the cross for me. I need to be all in.